good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Sydney Williams. This is the Hiking My Feelings virtual campfire number 53. We are live from the Little House of Glencoe here in Glencoe, Illinois, which is one of the northern suburbs of Chicago. We hiked 175 something miles to get to this place around the city. So we are on the home stretch now. We have tomorrow's hike, which is Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, and then we are done with this 220 mile adventure around Chicago.
3 days left.
3 days left. How are you feeling?
Good. My hiking trail beard is coming in nicely.
Yeah, Barry's got a playoff beard. It's looking good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Well, let's do a quick update on Take a Hike Diabetes, and then we'll kind of share some updates from what we got going on here. So exciting news. We have hiked as a community 21,977 miles for diabetes awareness since we started this at the beginning of the year. And we have 171 participants joining us to contribute to those miles. And so far we've raised $17,046. So big thanks to our sponsors, UST, Solomon, and Ross Chocolates. We could not do what we do without you. And a quick briefing, let's talk about, oh yeah, Barry's got his UST shirt on. Let's do a quick reminder on the prizes up for grabs. So we have been sleeping in the four-person house party tent every night except for two nights of this trip,
yep.
Right? And the tent that we're giving away every month from UST is the six-person house party tent. And we're in the four-person, and it is huge. Like, it is the Taj Mahal of car camping tents.
And I'll tell you, I've set up a fair amount of tents in my day.
Yeah.
This is one of the easiest tents I've ever had to set up because the poles are color-coded.
Yep.
So, you know, like the gold ones go in the gold section, the yep. blue ones go in the blue one, and it's like super, super easy. And like, and you know, we have to set these things up and break them down every morning because we're moving to a different location pretty much every day. So it's like, it just makes life easy. And then like, you know, just putting stuff away, it takes to break everything down, sleeping bags, sleeping pads, tent, it can't take more than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think from a camping perspective, the first time I remember camping, and I might have done some as a kid, but if we did, I don't remember. The first camping experience I do remember, though, was Joshua Tree when we first moved to California.
Mm-hmm.
That was where we camped out. And I think we had an air mattress in a big Coleman tent. And that was the end of my camping experience. And then I went straight into backpacking. And since then, I've been getting lighter and lighter and lighter on the gear, which my setup right now for backpacking is pretty darn awesome. But I kind of was scoffing. I was like, oh my God, these tents weigh so much. It's like, obviously I'm not going to carry this on a backpacking trip, right. But for car camping, like I love ultralight backpacking and just sleeping on the ground and whatever, but there is something really special about the sleeping pad we've got and the big old tent we have. Like
we're actually contemplating putting those sleeping pads into the van.
Yeah. Because they're so comfortable.
If they fit, I think it's worth doing it. Cause like we've slept in the van twice.
Yeah.
Because we stayed at Adam's mom's and we stayed in last night because it was cool enough to do so. And they're more comfortable than the mattress we have in our van.
Yeah. So big shout out to USC for that Filmatic sleeping pad. It's self-inflating. It's amazing. So six-person house party tent. We're giving one of those away every month through the end of the year. And all you got to do to win is sign up for Take a Hike Diabetes and log four activities per month. So that's from UST. UST is also furnishing the grand prize. So this is where things get exciting. You get a tent, a sleeping bag, a sleeping pad, a cooking setup, and solar lights. So you will be like all the way hooked up for camping in style and incredible comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So every hike you do, every activity you log during Take a Hike Diabetes is an entry for that. And a beautiful reminder, shout out to Solomon for getting us squared away with shoes this year. Every month we are giving away a pair of the new X Ultra 4 GTX shoes. And those are available when you log at least four activities for Take a Hike Diabetes as well.
Yep.
So that's our prize situation. Now let's talk about the 175 miles we've spent on this trail. We kind of gave some updates last week, but where did we leave off last week? So last week we were at Camp Bullfrog Lake. We were getting ready to go see Butch for dinner. And what happened when we got back from the hike on Friday? What was going on with the van?
Oh, so yeah, we got locked out of the van.
Yeah.
Like the side doors, the lock broke. So we had to get that sorted out. So the problem was it was so damn hot. It was like 95 degrees and we can't vent the van adequately. So it's just a logistical nightmare. And we got to climb in through the front seats to get in. It's just a nightmare. So we ended up doing 2 days worth of hiking in one day. And so we could take the next day off and we could get the van fixed. And shout out to whatever
Rick's
Auto Care
in Wheeling.
Yes. Yeah. They were able to hook us up
yeah.
one day, got the part, got us in and out, even though they were busy, super friendly, great guy.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. At thank
Rick's
you, Jason.
Auto Care
yeah.
in Wheeling.
So if you ever need auto services
yeah.
And you find yourself in Wheeling, Illinois,
hit Jason up
at Rick's Auto Care. He seemed like he was the owner, but
his his badge said manager. So I don't know who Rick is, but thank you, Jason.
Yeah.
And another thing on that too, we've had some, this has been the year of repairs for Ruby. She's 21. No, she's 98. So she's 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she's starting to show her age a little bit. So we had some brakes were replaced. We've had some issues with that. We had a new fuel pump, and then we got these new handles. And I think one of the things that I'm just so thankful for, if it's going to happen anywhere, I'm really glad it happened in the Chicago metro area, because one of the things that's difficult about this van in particular, it's a domestic, so it's not going to be like super hard to work on, but finding parts for a vehicle that old can be difficult and takes time. And fortunately for us, Jason, our buddy at Rick's Auto Care, I swear to God, it's like, we're not even getting paid to say it, but I feel like I'm on the radio. He has a direct line to the folks at Napa Auto Parts for like the whole Chicago area. So they were able to get the part. They had it like in the warehouse and we were able to get it in and out.
Yep.
All right. So I want to tell a story about Tuesday. So in 2019, we hosted a speaking and hiking day. This was like our debut event of doing both one of my storytelling events and a hike in the same day. We debuted that programming in Vernon Hills, Illinois. So I did a talk in the morning and then we took everybody out for a local hike and we went to the Old School Forest Preserve and did a loop. And we have friends here that were there. Our friends from skydiving, Adam's mom was there. Linda and his sister, Nicole, joined us as well. And then our friends, Lindsay Stewart, shout out Lindsay, missed you this week. And some other folks came and hiked. And so we were pulling into where we were leaving the van. Like our end point was at the Old School Forest Preserves on Tuesday. And we pulled in and I was like, oh my gosh, this is where we did the hike in 2019.
Yep.
And so as we were walking on the trail, I was just having all these memories. And it's funny because when we did that hike, we didn't know about the Outer Belt yet. So we were in the parking lot, or we went to Kuma's after, and we were talking with a friend we had just met, and he was the one that told us about this trail. And so we didn't even know what it was, but when we looked at the route, we saw that it went right by the Vernon Hills Kuma's corner. And so we've been looking forward to Tuesday of this hike for 2 years. It's the one day that we were just like so psyched about, because we would actually walk to go get burgers.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about how that actually went down.
So we were super pumped to do that. Super pumped. And we're like, you know, we're telling everybody that we were hiking with, we're like, hey, we're going to make a scheduled stop. You're more than welcome. I don't care. We're stopping. We're getting Kumas. If you don't want to, because it's not everybody's cup of tea. There's like,
right.
you know, death metal blaring and, you know, it's an aggressive burger. Yeah. So, I'm looking at the schedule for the day. I'm like, okay, we're probably going to be there right around noon. It's going to be great. I'm like, you know, I should check, you know, with COVID and, you know, just everything that's been going on. Are they open for lunch? Nope, not open for lunch. So it ended up working out great because we ended up staying with Adam's mom, Linda. Yep.
And her partner, Forrest.
Yeah, and we got to do some laundry. So we're fresh,
showers.
Fresh as daisies.
Yeah.
And take some showers, and we went to Kuma's together.
Yeah.
And it was lovely.
Yeah. It was just a really nice full circle day. Like, because 2019 was a big year for Hiking My Feelings. We had big grand plans to do this hike in 2020. And then obviously with COVID and everything, that did not happen. And that is the reason why the virtual campfire even exists. So pretty cool full circle day there. Talk to us a little bit about what we got going on Saturday and Sunday.
So we have officially turned the corner. We are moving south towards Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty pumped about it. We went through the botanical gardens today, which is quite nice.
Yep.
And we are, so Saturday we actually have a stop at the Grafton Pub.
Yes.
Which is like, they're going to host us and they're going to maybe put some food in our mouths and buy us a drink, I guess, and supply a microphone for Sydney's angelic voice.
No, for any kind of storytelling.
Oh, I thought you were going to sing.
I'm not going to sing, Barry.
I think you should.
Let's do this. Oh, look at what I've got. Okay, so we're going to share our screen again because this is really cool. So we pulled up the interactive map for the route that we're doing so you guys can see. So we started here at Buckingham Fountain. This is the green dot. And we've gone all the way around like this. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And now we're somewhere in here, right? Like this region.
Somewhere in that range, yeah.
So we're in this region somewhere at the Little House of Glencoe. So it's been a wild ride, 175 miles so far around the city of Chicago. We've seen so many different animals, so many different kinds of terrain and just different natural areas and stuff like that.
Yeah, we got about 35 miles left to go.
Yep.
So we're stopping at the Grafton Pub, and I was kind of joking the other day. I'm like, back in the day, we would have turned this hike into a pub crawl.
Yeah.
So like every mile, we're going to stop and we're going to have a beer and we're going to have a shot. It's going to make for a very long day.
These days we can't hang like that. So we're just going to stop at the Grafton Pub. I'm definitely going to have a beer, just to keep things going.
Yeah, but that's Saturday.
That's Saturday. So and then Sunday we come rolling into Buckingham Fountain. And depending on the group we've got, I believe we're probably starting at, I guess, probably 8 again. Maybe 9. Yeah, we'll maybe see what the weather's doing.
Yeah, we'll see. It's 10 miles on both days.
Yeah, we anticipate rolling in, depending on our start time, probably around like noonish.
Noon to 1.
Yeah. So if you want to come be part of the welcome wagon, if you live in Chicago and you want to just like hoot and holler and scream and get real excited and take a picture with us in our really cool banner on Sunday and bring it home, we'd love to have you there so you can...
Yeah. No, continue.
Oh,
no. No, I was just going to say, I did map it out and it's 5.4 miles to the Kumas on Belmont.
So Sunday is a 15 mile
day. So if we want to make it a 15 mile day, I'd be more than willing to hike to Kumas. We'll hike for Kumas.
Yeah. So we've had, we had Kumas on the trail was just this week, right?
Yeah.
But we had it before we left.
Yeah. In Denver.
Yeah. And yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah. So if you want to join us this weekend, go to hikingmyfeelings.org/Chicago and you can join us as we final turn of this grand adventure, 220 some odd miles around Chicago. Come and join us. So that's what I got. You got any fun stories? Anything you want to share?
We saw two random deer baby legs today on the trail.
Oh yeah. Like massacred baby legs.
Yeah.
Like hanging off the.
Yeah.
Like they had been removed from a body.
Right. Yeah. So that was kind of strange.
Yeah.
But so I'll say that the Des Plaines River Trail is fantastic.
Yeah. And that's part of what we were hiking when we did the hike with everybody in 2019 for Vernon Hills was on the Des Plaines River Trail. And I remember thinking, oh, this trail's like 30 something miles long. I think it's 30 something miles long. I was like, man, that'd be a really cool thing to go do. And then we just decided to multiply that by a lot. So here we are.
Yep.
Cool. Well, do you want to go get Molly and I'll entertain the crowd?
Yeah, I'll
go
get Molly. All right.
Okay, cool.
We'll see you later.
Yeah. You got any other stories? You good?
I'll think about it.
Okay. You think about it and you pull up a chair. We'll turn it into a campfire jam sing along.
All right.
Grab Molly. Let's party. So yeah, so that's what we got going on so far. It's been really wild. And for me personally, this is the longest trip I've ever done. And to the point where after, I think it was after like day 4 or 5, every single step has been a new record for me personally, as far as the number of miles I've hiked in a row. Come on down, have a seat. Woo-hoo. So this is Molly. Molly works with the Cook County Forest Preserves.
Hi,
we're going to talk.
All right.
Okay, cool.
I love talking to you.
Yay. So Molly, like I said, works in the outdoor industry here in Chicago. She is spectacular. We've been trying to figure out on what planet we met first, because there's no end to the lifetimes we've spent together as friends. Yeah. I was like, oh, I met you the first day. I was like, oh, did we just become best friends? Great. Cool. That's fine. So a couple things I want to talk about. One, let's do an intro. Like, who are you? Where do you live? And like what's your deal?
Jeez. I am Molly. I am a human who's had a very non-linear career path.
And yeah, we'll talk about that.
And landed in Chicago. I live in Albany Park. I love my community. I love my neighborhood. Yeah, I have a lot of chosen family there. Yes. Since I'm not originally from this region.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Have you always been outdoorsy?
No. Oh my God, no.
How did you get into being outdoorsy?
Oh geez.
You can go as long as or little as you want. We're waiting on Ish. I don't know if Ish is going to show up. It might just be the Sydney and Molly party.
So. So I was a fat kid and I hated, like I grew up in like a really rough area of Trenton, New Jersey, like not, couldn't go out of the house. Like couldn't, it wasn't safe. Like, you know, the first time, my cousin and I were shot at over like, you know, drugstore toys. I was 8. Like it's
wow.
Yeah. So definitely did a lot of reading and eating junk food as a kid.
Favorite snack?
Oh geez. I can have my mom had a for some parts of my childhood, my mom had a deli. My mom's 100% Italian, so the sandwiches were amazing. So like hoagies this big. But like she also was working a whole bunch of jobs to make it work. So sometimes I was, you know, latchkey kid, I was on my own. I could eat like, you know, Doritos for dinner, like a whole, the giant bag. It was not a good scene. But growing up there, like in an urban area, I definitely had like touches of nature, like not too far from the ocean. Like someone in my family would rent a house at the Jersey Shore each summer and I'd get to go down there. And there's actually like a vacant lot behind where I lived. And it's probably like a bunch of weeds and broken glass, but there were butterflies there. Like there's nature everywhere. There's something everywhere. But I didn't realize it probably growing up. I've like when I was doing a lot of my like bookwormy reading, writing, whatever, I would always be writing about the outdoors or like writing looking through the window. But chose a very different thing for college than like the area where I grew up. So I went to college in Vermont, which is gorgeous and amazing, and I probably should have done some hiking and skiing and things, but I was like, oh, I gotta finish both these majors and I gotta like get good grade. I didn't have the balance to realize
how what was happy in your backyard.
Right. And yeah, now I go back all the time and I'm like, what? Like we did these things like a couple times. I was too focused on being nerdy. I moved out here actually for theater. Well, I came out here a couple summers in college to do some theater stuff and some improv stuff. And then I worked up and down the East Coast a year after college and then came out here after that. And I literally found the green spaces of the Chicago Park District, of the Forest Preserves of Cook County, like all around this region. Like it was literally something to write home about. Like I wrote letters, like this is amazing because I made like $0. And I was like, I can go to the beach. I can go to the park. There's concerts. There's movies. There's places to like walk outside and it's beautiful. And I hear the waves and it's like, this is accessible to me for nothing. I get this. So that was really powerful. But I still wasn't quite outdoorsy. I probably didn't own a tent till my 30s. But in my mid to late 20s, I was working in social service. I was working in psychosocial rehabilitation with teens and just like say yes to stuff. And they needed someone to like help cover this camping trip downstate 3 or 4 days. And I was like, yeah, I'll go. I can do that. I don't have a family. I don't have a mortgage. I can like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess mortgage has nothing to do with timeline, but here's me thinking all the things.
Yeah.
But I did it. And a lot of the members of the organization, they like came to me and said like that their visual and auditory hallucinations stopped like from being at this, you know, outdoor camp for 3 or 4 days. And I realized like the neighborhoods they were living in, which is, you know, we had 4 group homes, 2 were in the neighborhood I live in now, 2 were in a different neighborhood in Chicago. Like there's just a lot of noise. And I realized there was something, you know, pretty powerful and healing to this nature stuff. So I decided to make a career change, and I took a 6-week job as a camp counselor, like very entry level for that point in my life, with the Chicago Park District doing like nature programming, and thought I'm gonna go back to school and I'm gonna do all this. And like I've been like so ridiculously lucky in my life, like that led to they liked me, I did all right. And so that led to something year round. Notice I say year round and not full time, because the jobs in this field are very much not full time, at least in the beginning. I wish there were more of them. There's so many amazing people that that I've had the pleasure of working with and learning from and learning with.
Yeah.
That have, unfortunately, some have had to make a different choice just because it's, you know,
can't get the hours.
Yeah, you gotta pay the bills, right?
Yeah.
So, but I was able to stick it out, have been working in nature, connecting people to the outdoors in a pretty urban, but also very wildlife and nature rich area for 16 years now.
What? So. I didn't realize you were doing this for that long. She started this when she was 4, guys. It's wild. How'd you get into college so early? No. So you like just like casually dropped improv. We're going to go there. So tell me a little bit, like you had visited out here a couple times for theater. Please do not hold back. Drop names as much as you want.
I can't.
That's fine. But like, if you don't, I will for you. But like, talk to me about your progression into Chicago and then through the improv world.
So I had a couple close friends in high school. I did some theater in high school, but it was, we didn't have like a real drama program until after I left. So we had like a musical every year that, you know, like an English teacher kind of, and like the choir director would get together and say like, we can hang out with kids after school and put this on. And so I do the play every year, I think. And anyway, through some folks, 2 guys that were a year older than me in high school, Zach and Jamie, they moved out here one summer before I did and had a great time. And Zach did theater stuff. And he was like, hey, there's this improv stuff going on. I think you'd be good at it. I think you'd really like it. Like, you should go to Chicago. And then talk to me about some Second City stuff. And Second City was like piloting an improv for actors track in their training center. They have their A through E classes that are sort of like the basic, you know, some people take them because they want to do improv. Some people take them because they want to get over shyness or meet new people.
Right, right, right.
And then they have their very serious conservatory track where like you audition to get into it. You audition after the first session to get into the second session. It's a commitment. And this was something that was like kind of fell in between, and it was called IFA, Improv for Actors. So people who had some experience on stage, but not doing improv. And so I probably should back up and say what some of my experience on stage was, which is that like when I was younger, growing up in New Jersey, I was like 40 minutes from Philly, an hour from New York, not even that far from DC. And so I would like sometimes lie about my age and do some shows in the cities, and mostly New York. So I had done a little bits of things, around and did, my college, Middlebury. It's awesome.
Shout out to Middlebury, and shout out to a shared acquaintance in that, you were in the same graduating class as Melanie Curtis.
Yeah. And in the same freshman dorm, Stuart. Yeah.
Wild.
So yes. And to PNGT, all my PNGT, Vermont's magical. Vermont's really magical. And so they have like full class term in the fall and full class term in the spring. And then my sophomore year, I was like, so I'm gonna, my aunt and uncle, who I had lived in New Jersey my whole life, he worked for the Navy and he was doing something down in DC and they were living down there. And I was like, I'm gonna like go try to like work in professional theater in DC for January term, for J term. So some people will take like organic chemistry for J term and like lock themselves in a room and like not ruin their whole social or academic spring term and just knock it out. And some people will take a class on The Simpsons and be a ski bum. And like, those are both very, very valid pursuits. But I proposed like an independent study where I was like, I'm just going to go my sophomore year. I'm going to go to DC. I'm going to try to work in professional theater and I'll like write about it. And then you guys will give me course credit. And they were like, yeah, that checks out. Okay. So I did some stuff down there. I met some cool people. Anyway, I'm all over the map.
This is great.
Theater
history.
But yeah, theater history. So I came, from some recommendations from Zach, got into this thing that I didn't know I had any business being in with Second City, came out here and studied and got to do a little bit of performing on one of their stages. I don't want to misrepresent myself. I've never been on main stage or ETC or any kind of represented by, I was there. And then the following year I started doing stuff with IO, formerly Improv Olympic, but like I have at some times in my life made a living doing theater, but always because it was a hustle and I was cobbling together like this independent team and this birthday party and this teach a day for a camp. And like, there was a cruise ship that docked at Navy Pier that like would pay us ridiculous amounts of money. And I remember after doing like one post-prom party where there were like lots of fake tans and real diamonds. And I was like, what is going on with these kids? But the work I loved, the work that was like nourishing to my soul and like really fun about playing with my fellow ensemble members was not ever the work that paid. So I didn't keep doing it because it was like, oh, this other thing, like this, the cruise ship thing was like there were three decks and it was a 3-hour tour. So we do like a 20-minute set on each deck. And like ostensibly, it would always be like, the suggestion would be like dildo or gynecologist again. And I was like, were you at the other show like 40 minutes ago? Like,
are you traveling up and downstairs?
Same thing? Okay, here we go. Like, that's what you're asking me for. And I was like, I just don't want to be a performing monkey anymore.
Yeah.
So, I guess probably anyone who comes through Chicago, which is an improv mecca at any time, can probably say this, but I really feel like I hit it at a time to like study with or be around or just like learn from some really incredible people. And you don't, as an improviser, you don't just learn how to improvise on stage. You learn how to be part of a team and support each other. And you learn how to effing listen.
Yes, you do. That is the truest of truths.
Yeah, is just really valuable. And of course, there's like these like starstruck moments of like people who were already on SNL, but like would come back in the summers to like play at their old haunts and you'd get to meet them or take a masterclass or whatever with them. And then there's people that like came up with me who went on to do that and other things, or people who came up after me. There is just, I love it. I love seeing, I'm not on any social media. So it's weird when someone else is like, your friend is like, this is hilarious on Twitter. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try to get on Twitter until they kick me off because I don't have an account. I can read like 5 things, which is also how I experience Hiking My Feelings Instagram. I'm like, oh, I got to time out again. Okay. So
I like it.
Yeah.
What's the timeline then? So you got here, you were doing improv stuff. You mentioned psychosocial. Oh. Like, what was the transition from improv to outdoors?
So
was it just that story about helping out with camper?
No, it was, I got here in May of 2001. And actually like another kind of healing thing that happened with the outdoors is in September of 2001, I had a lot of friends that were in New York. I had a lot of friends that were in DC. I had a number of days where I couldn't reach people that were close to me and didn't know, what had happened. And I did lose one friend from high school in New York, Josh. And I felt like a traitor for being in Chicago. I felt like my community and all my people were back in New York and like I had no right being here. And it was very hard for me being new here and not really having, I had an improv community, but I didn't feel like they wanted to be really supportive, I'm sure, but I felt like it was just different.
You just can't get it. Yeah.
And so I remember one night just getting in my car and like, whenever the road forked, I had no like no technology at that point. I had no technology, very little technology until very recently. But like I got internet, I got home internet during COVID. So that's how much of a Luddite I am. But yeah, I just kind of got in the car and drove. It was probably 5 or 6 hours by the end of it. And I ended up in Door County, Wisconsin, which is like really, really lovely.
I've heard beautiful things about Door County,
exactly
Wisconsin.
Where I needed to be to kind of heal and process a little bit of what was going on with me. So that's one healing moment in nature. But then, I did some theater stuff, started doing like, I got my Type 39 substitute teaching certificate, from the state. So I would like teach a handful of days here and there. And then I started doing that at an alternative high school, getting into, social service, working with kids who like their traditional school hadn't worked out for them. But it was always like part-time or off and on, and I would like, I don't know who I was at like 23 being like, yeah, I can't work those things because theater, or I can't like, it's like, I won't work before noon because I, and like somehow they were like, that's fine. Can you do the accounting? And like me with like, you know, studied English and theater undergrad and no graduate degrees. So like, I was like, yeah, I'll do your accounting with some like 1970s software that's older than me. But I would, you know, try and I'd learn and I'd make it work. So I'd fill in. I eventually was like an intake coordinator and like the office manager and a whole bunch of things, like not even working full time. Started, I guess, like part-time to full-time. So made it work with theater for a couple of years and then started doing social service and some teaching. And then I had a full-time teaching job lined up in the fall at a place where I was going to teach theater and English. That spring is when I had that really powerful experience. And I did the like summer job. I'm a, you know, 15-year-old or 16-year-old, right. However old you have to be hired by the Chicago Park District.
Yeah.
I probably should know this, but yeah. And then I did that and like, started my first job there is with the outdoor and environmental ed team. In the environment, all the departments I've worked for have like changed names and they're all these acronyms. It was like environment, culture, and special events. And then I started and so it was great because arts and culture was another section in there. And I really, that sounds like a stupid little buzzy word thing, but it cross-pollinated a lot. Like I was like, we don't have to be just nature and you guys are just arts. Like there's art and nature and there's nature and art. And there's like, can we do some stuff together? And I just got really lucky to like, you know, one program, Harvest Garden, like needed some help. And I'm like, cool, I'll cover a couple of those programs. And then I learn how to garden and get to work with kids in a different community than I otherwise would. And so I've just been stupid lucky to be able to pick up a lot of different experiences. And I was okay getting paid in t-shirts and hamburgers for the majority of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after about 3 years doing that, that wasn't full time. I was sort of in this, here's a crappy thing. I should say this because this is important. I was 27, 28. And like my mom had breast cancer, many, many years before. But, when I left my social service job, I was eventually full time there. I paid Cobra for as long as I could. And then when I still had a couple months left of Cobra, I tried to get healthcare. And they denied me because of my mom's medical history, which is now not legal for them to do.
Yeah.
But it was really rough. And then once you get denied by one company, everyone else, like, have you ever been denied? And that's the first question. And they're like, then we can't talk to you. And so, like, I mean, in that year of paying Cobra, I, like, made $16,000 that year. And I paid $5,000 to Cobra. Like, that's how much I was willing to prioritize health coverage. So you know, having a full-time gig was a big deal to me because I was worried about that. And I didn't have any health issues. I was like younger, healthier then probably, but growing up how I did just saw life events break people and put people out on the streets. And I I don't know.
We're not interested in that.
Right. I was not interested in that. Yeah. I have some depression era values that are, that I come by kind of weird and maybe sometimes kind of honest, but, I was actually able to interview, I went and worked with a different department. I interviewed with a different department with the park district. It was with the city, but it was housed at the park district. And I got to work with people with disabilities and do arts and culture, like outdoor and environmental ed and arts and culture for those populations. I don't want to say that population because it's so incredibly diverse. Yeah. But like that, like made my heart sing. That just like, I, again, like so lucky. And had a little grant write. Oh, I did a little grant writing on the East Coast before I came out here. So since I had a little grant writing experience, worked with our foundation, got most of my operational budget was grants. And so got to do a lot of fun, cool programs in the arts and the outdoors, took folks camping for the first time, a lot of first time experiences. And then, the Forest Preserves of Cook County has been around for a very long time. Celebrated our centennial in 2015, but has been a land management and a restoration organization, but hasn't always been a programming and like education and recreation based organization. So they were starting some new stuff there. They had some really great leadership, and they had brought a few other people over who had worked in, who'd done that kind of work. And like the job that I have now, when this job got posted, no fewer than 30 people sent it to me and was like, this sounds like you. And I wasn't looking for it. I was like, okay, I guess I'll throw my hat in the ring.
Yeah.
Cause it was kind of like lateral move. Like it wasn't like, I was more excited about just the opportunity to kind of like build some things and pilot some things. So, got that.
What's a day like this job now?
So it's
like
different.
What's your like typical day for Molly?
Nothing's typical.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Nothing's typical.
Walk me through the favorite kind of your day.
Oh.
Like if you could build your perfect day at work, what does that look like for you?
Yeah. Well, I love working the front desk. Like we've had an outdoor front desk this entire time during COVID, and I just love talking to people and figuring out what they're interested in and trying to find what resource we have that they're going to love or that I think they might love, like how like obnoxious of me to be like, you're going to love this. I just know it. Like, no,
but you are like, you have the resources. You're the translator between the things.
The interpreter. Right. Totally. So I love meeting people, developing relationships with people, trying to connect them to stuff that
can I pause you? Yeah. Look at how angelic we look right now. Sorry, like we've got this great sunbeam going. If you're listening to the podcast, you can't see it, so go watch it on YouTube. But we look amazing. So yeah. So working the front desk, loving it.
Yeah. I actually love, I love working the front desk. I love that like a 3 or 4 year old little boy came by about a month or two ago, and he was with his Nana and he was playing with sticks, and he's like, oh, all these trees came down. We have really sandy soil where I work. And a lot of trees, fell, and, it's like, well, you know, it's sad that the trees are down, but now, and I feel like maybe he had some coaching to say this, but he's like, but now they're play structures. And I was like, when can we hire you?
Yeah.
Like, how what? Old is exactly. Like you and climb on them and like, yeah, like learn to trust yourself and take risk and balance and all kinds of things that are, I think, kind of missing from childhood a little bit these days. Mm-hmm. Like, my next door neighbors have a newborn, and they're always like, oh, don't think we're bad parents, because she's like sitting in the grass and eating a little dirt and like playing with the, you know, plants they just planted. And I'm like, no, this is amazing. This is exactly what I think children should have. So then he also shared with me that that his grandmother's name is Nana and his grandfather's name is Psst. So I'm like, this is like, I get to know that.
Yeah.
I get to like, yeah.
I love that.
Have that little bit of information and have that experience. I also love like, I love being surrounded by the outdoors. Like I have a not insignificant commute to my work location from where I live, and I love where I work and I love where I live. So like that piece is not going to change. And being someone that's pretty much like, you know, not been just work from home exclusively this whole COVID time, I feel like For some people, it's like, it's great. I get 2 more hours back in my day. And for me, it's like, yeah, I don't love my commute, but I love that I get to go to a place that's very much like this every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, share a couple 100 acres with my colleagues and our visitors.
That's so cool.
So
I, okay. So shifting gears a little bit, we are now 175 ish miles into this 220 mile journey.
Go Sydney.
Thank you. Hair flip.
Yeah. Woo.
Cheers
with a root beer.
Yeah. Cheers with a kombucha.
There
hey.
You go.
So you were, am I saying one of the first or the first? I feel like you're the first person to thru hike this. One of the first.
I don't.
Just say it.
Okay.
Yes, own it.
I'm the first.
Okay. So Molly is the first person to through hike this adventure that we're on, this 220 mile trail around Chicago. What's your favorite stretch?
Ooh.
Or give me some highlights for you.
Jeez. So hard. I mean,
if somebody was like, I am coming to Chicago for a weekend.
Yeah. So my
where
favorite,
should I start?
You okay.
Yeah.
So my favorite stretch on the Outer Belt is also going to be, oh God, so hard. So hard. I'm going to give a couple. One I would say is like, even if you're not coming, the Palos area,
stunning,
which is like, if you zoom out on a map of Chicagoland, you'll see this green triangle and it's the densest kind of concentration of, you know, public land wilderness area. And so that's where you're going to hear less cars, see more stars. That rhymes. that's pretty, pretty amazing.
Palos is one of the first places, was the first place actually. So after we did Saganashki Slough.
Uh-huh.
Crossing over whatever that road is, 100 and something, I think 103rd. I don't know. I feel like that's a number. I don't know. There's you do the slough, you get out, you cross the road, you go into Palos on your way to the campground. And that was the first place on this entire trip where I didn't hear car noise.
Oh.
And I was like, I was just like listening and I was like, Barry. And he's kind of far ahead. I was like, hey, I can't hear any city sounds. Like, I feel like I'm in nature. We're hiking. And he was like, yay. So, yeah. Okay, so you like Palos.
You also had a wee bit of topography there.
We
which
did.
You don't have a lot of in
you
the
don't.
Midwest or the Chicago region.
It was our
region.
Biggest game day. I think so, like 500 feet of elevation gain. We're crushing it. Okay, then. So, over the course of our time together on this trail, you've rattled off some pretty impressive statistics about biodiversity, acreage, and making comparisons between the land that we walk through on this loop to like national parks.
Yeah.
What are some of those numbers? Like,
okay.
Those are some cool facts.
I'm gonna give the ish with my numbers.
Let's do it. Yeah, ish
but
is
like
fine.
The Forest Preserve of Cook County now holds just about 70,000 acres. So it's like 11% of the land in Cook County is public space, is, you know,
and
protected.
Chicago is dense and wide.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are the oldest and largest like forest preserve system of our kind in the country.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Not older than any like individual national parks, but the national parks like sort of together was a 2016 thing and we were a 2015 thing.
Yeah.
We have, you know, we're larger sort of land-wise than a lot of national parks, but we also have a lot more biodiversity than a lot of individual national parks because we're in this really incredible space where we've got like the eastern sort of ranges of flora and fauna and sort of like the southern kind of meeting up with a Great Lakes ecosystem. And it's just like wild off the charts biodiversity in this area. Like one of my favorite things about my job, but also one of my favorite things about the Outer Belt and like why I joined this organization is I love the opportunity to change people's minds about an undervalued resource. And a lot of people are like, well, what do we have here? This is just like Chicago, or this is just like, you know, and it's like, and then they get out there and it's just, I have no words. I have all the words sometimes. And right now it's just, I love watching people recognize that they have access to this gift.
Well, so. I said, and we walked a lot together on that first day from Buckingham Fountain down to Steelworkers Park. And I said like at least 5 or 6 times, I was like looking around. I'm like, I did Chicago wrong.
Yeah,
when I lived here. Like, I did not take full advantage of this. Like I was in my apartment or at the office or on the bus. And like, that was it.
Or so, at your corner bar, local right, tavern. Because Chicago is amazing for that. We love our everything that makes our neighborhoods our neighborhoods. Yes. Like, you get community there too.
Yes.
So, but yeah.
So yeah, I love that. And I appreciate that layer of knowledge. And Barry and I have been saying week over week, and every time we get to tell anybody about this trip so far, is just like, the right people are showing up at the right time. And the first day was so cool. Like, we were eating things on the trail and like, you're pointing out plants and animals, and it was just like, and it was so amazing. And then like day two, we were walking through the 10th Ward with Ish, and it was just like the socio-political history of the area.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, like, it's so cool. And I know, like, when I lived in Chicago, when I first got to Chicago, I did all the touristy things, but then at some point you like rise above the exploration of your own city and you're like, I live here. Like, I don't need to see it.
Yeah.
Have you seen, when you talk about like the opening of the eyes or the understanding of the resources available to them, do you see like the transition from like, I don't want to play tourist in my town, to now I have all of this stuff out here? Like, is there like a definite like switch in interest?
Yeah, you just gave me chills. Yeah.
I got some too. Why are you contagious?
Right, yeah. I'm sorry, we'll get checked together.
Yeah.
I absolutely I see that. And I also would say I see it so much more in this last year for all the, like, you know, difficult things that COVID has brought and all the, you know, things it's taken. It really has helped people get outside and realize that they need this and that they have it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So one of the things that you said, that, so we were at Camp Sullivan, which is a spectacular campground.
It's amazing.
Like, it's like amazing. It's so, I'm going to tilt this up. It's like all trees all the time, just like so much shade. It's absolutely spectacular. And you said something, you're like, I know a little about a lot of things.
Oh yeah.
And earlier you mentioned that your career progression is not linear.
Right.
And I'm like, soul sisters, it's fine. Cause like my career, like my resume is like a winding road. What would you say about that? Because I used to judge myself. We're on the same page. I think that's why we get along so well. Cause there's like a spirit of curiosity about you that I embody myself. And I think I used to judge myself for not having a linear career progression. And I was like, oh my God, I'm all over the place. None of it makes sense. But like, I'm sitting here and every single thing I've done, professional, getting paid for it or not,
right,
personal journeys, the decisions at the forks in the road, with or without technology, like, has led me to this moment. And I feel like everything I've done has trained me for the position I'm in now. Would you say the same?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For anybody else that's listening that has judged themselves about a nonlinear, whatever, advice, thoughts, words of wisdom?
Oh man. But see, as seeing myself as not an expert in any one thing and just like a generalist or a dabbler or like a Jill of all trades and master of none, it's hard for me to be like, I have advice because I have expertise. I'm like, oh, I'm not qualified to answer this question.
You're qualified and living a cool ass life.
Qualified as any other human, right? So yeah, like stop looking at metrics of any, like stop looking at what other people make, stop looking at what your age is and where you thought you would be and if you own a house or if you've started a family or all that, like stop that noise and like just like get what you need. Like, mental health is so important, and so much of my mental health and some of my physical health comes from the outdoors, but like figure out what's working for you and if you like what you're doing, and if you don't like what you're doing, change it. Like, I was fortunate enough to never have like golden handcuffs, because no job I had ever paid much, like working in theater and the arts and social service and teaching. And I forgot to tell you that I was also a server, and I was like such a badass server, like I was so good at that. But like, I feel like that job, everybody should do. I feel like people do a semester abroad.
Everybody needs to wait tables for at least a year of their
life. Yes. So they learn, and or like work retail, so they learn how to be a human customer.
Yeah. So that isn't a jerk.
That should be required, and learn that, like, you know, that this is how people, you know, live.
Yeah.
And so all of those things have definitely contributed. And like, not, I don't know, it's gonna sound so like kumbaya or out there, but it's like, I literally can learn something from someone every day. And so not like saying,
yeah,
like not.
And I love that you said learn with people too.
Oh yeah.
That's my entire jam.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. And when things are like buzzing back and forth, and that was like the magic of improv. It's like when we're creating something together and we're going bip, 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 and like sort of the magical mm-hmm. friendship that we've created just a handful of days of being together. Like, yeah. Oh yeah. Don't leave. It's going to be rough. I'm going to have to hike my feelings a lot when you go.
So tell me about that. Okay. So this is a Hiking My Feelings virtual campfire. What does Hiking My Feelings mean to you? Mm. Not like, what does this organization mean to you? Yeah, like, what is the phrase? Like, how does that resonate with
you? I mean, so I wasn't much of a hiker yet because it was the year I turned 30, but in the span of the first couple months of the year, I lost 7 people. And it was, very rough, and my budget was constrained for traveling for some services. And then also there were some services that happened on the same day and I had to make a choice, which is not a choice I'd ever want anyone to have to make. But I didn't have, good coping mechanisms. I didn't have access to therapy at that time. Cause again, no healthcare. I mean, and I wasn't able to pay out of pocket for that kind of stuff. So I ended up, I had never like done a 5K or anything, but I ended up running the marathon that year. And it's not like I just got off the couch and did that. Like I started training. This stuff happened early in the year. I like built up to it. But like there is just something about putting one foot in front of the other that helps you move through something. Because if you're in something that's awful and that sucks and that you wish was different and that's hard, you have to actively move through it. And mm-hmm. that's what hiking my feelings means to me. And also there's, you know, and I've gotten the opportunity to hike in some sort of like more majestic and like, you know, like the places that people do travel to. I've been fortunate enough to have the time and the budget to do those things and be on mountaintops and overlook oceans and cliffs and, you know, be with, but also like the stripped down, like I don't have all my clothes, I don't have all my food, I don't have all my gadgets, whatever. It's like you hear things in a different way, you like from your fellow humans on the trail, but also from your sort of non-human community members. Mm-hmm. and there's just things that I'm that are just like ridiculous gifts that present themselves. So my partner, this is like we're ramping up sort of like the busy time of my job, and this year I'm not doing the entire hike, kind of bounced in and out on a couple days and got to camp with you guys for 3 nights, did a little stretch, and like the first night of that, or maybe the next day, I called my partner and he was like, oh, you sound like you.
I remember when you said that and it just moved me so hard.
You need to do more of this. Yeah. Like, I need to let you do that. I'm like, okay, yeah, I need to do more of this. Like, it's just...
Gotta make time
for
it.
Yeah,
yeah. And I think it's hard too. Like, your job is fulfilling. You obviously love it. Like, you're over here gushing and it's beautiful to witness. And also it's important to carve out that time in nature for yourself. Cause like your job can't, as awesome as your job sounds like it is, and as much as it sounds like you enjoy it, it also can't give you everything that you need. And you can't get that same experience that you have when you go out and do something like this.
Yeah. I'd also say for me personally, hiking my feelings happens a lot or has different benefits when I'm solo.
Mm-hmm.
So I think and like as a woman, like I've done some trips that the people are like, you did what and you were alone and how did you, and I'm like, it's everybody can choose their own, like challenge by choice, everybody is whatever they're comfortable with, however they're, you know. I remember making calls like, I am heading into the backcountry, this is my plan, the sign says to tell you this, like, you know, like
in case I get to missing.
But those are like I wouldn't trade those times for anything. And I think the same sort of like perked up extra sense stuff that you get from just being out here, it's heightened even more when you're alone.
Yeah.
And so if, I guess like that's my like advice, if people are comfortable doing it, is like, even if it's one night, like take a solo, turn your shit off.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, and like listen to the universe and listen to yourself and start figuring out
what you're hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for finishing my sentence, my soulmate.
All right. So the last question that I always like to ask people, well, second to last, because I'll ask you another one. But my last question that I like to ask is, if you had a magic wand and you could either bestow some level of understanding for folks, or eliminate a problematic behavior in society, or solve one of the world's problems, what would that be?
So I think we're at a time of reckoning for a lot of things right now. I don't think it's going to change fast, but I think a lot of things for a lot of disadvantaged communities, people are aware now that these changes need to be made. It's going to be a long, long road to making the changes, but I'm buoyed by the fact that people are recognizing that we acknowledge this land as, you know, Native American ancestral homelands, that that Juneteenth is now an official holiday, that all kinds of things. But coming specifically from thinking about hiking my feelings, and like, I think mental health needs to be, the stigma needs to just go the fuck away. So that would be my magic wand thing, is make it go the fuck away.
Yeah.
Because people don't, I'm not the first one or even the 35th person to say this, but like, when your arm is broken, they're not like, oh, well, you shouldn't have healthcare for that. You should just like suck it up and stick it out. It's like, no, like, it's real. Brain chemistry is real.
Yeah.
And like, people deserve help, and like, it shouldn't be a luxury and a privilege.
So a basic right.
Yep. Yeah.
Should be.
So, yeah. So yeah, it's my magic wand.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've used the broken arm thing in the context of,
I read it in your book.
I believe that when we start treating mental health with the same urgency and tenacity that we do physical health, then like, completely different experiences humans on this planet is possible.
I agree.
When we prioritize it in that way.
I agree. I'm also gonna say, yes, we treat physical health, but we don't treat wellness. We like let the symptoms happen, and then we treat the symptoms. We're not like, how do we treat the root cause of this?
Right.
We're
nobody cares about the root. Well, no. I care about the root cause.
Yeah.
But in general, the healthcare system in this country is not. They're like, oh, you're a machine. Let's get you a new part.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, let's talk about why it broke.
Yeah.
Why is my brain messed up? Yeah. Oh, because I survived some hard shit. I never dealt with it. Yeah. Cool. Let's fix that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then anything that I didn't ask you that you'd like to talk about?
Oh, geez. What has been your favorite part of the trail, and or like any like sort of personal revelation that you've been having during this last couple of weeks, if it's not too personal to ask?
Oh, it's not too personal.
Okay.
Okay. So favorite parts of the trail. Also Palos, just absolutely breathtakingly ridiculous. From a consistent day-to-day terrain, very much this side of the loop. Des Plaines River Trail, nice shade. I didn't order the humidity that happened the first 2 weeks of this trip. That was not on my docket. So I think like, from a personal revelation standpoint, before our journey here was associated with our Take a Hike Diabetes campaign, the original question that I set out to answer for myself personally when I decided I wanted to do the Outer Belt last year was, okay, I've had transformative healing in the backcountry.
Yes.
Can I access those same places, that quiet stillness within myself where I can hear myself, I can hear the outer voices, I can communicate with my animal friends? Can I get that in an urban environment? Because case study of one, right? Like, we're not running a clinical trial here, but like, because the way I see it is like, if I was able to have access to the outdoors, fresh, whole, healthy foods, I didn't have to work 3 jobs. Like, I was well resourced enough to where I could get diagnosed with diabetes and then use hiking to manage that.
Right.
This disease impacts a bajillion people. Like, if it's possible for me to do in the backcountry, if it's possible to do it in an urban environment, then like, what is possible for mental health?
Right.
At that intersection of like outdoors and mental health. So my revelation so far, and I'm still working on it. Like, now that we're on the back half of this and like we got like 3 hiking days left, I'm like, insights are coming in hot. So I'm like, it's a lot. My brain is a zoo. It's like, it's wild. So I've determined that the short answer to that question is yes, it is possible. There have been times, like I was able to cry on this trail. I was able to rage on this trail. Mm-hmm. I was able to access all the things. In fact, when we were turning into Dan Beard, the first time, everybody kept saying like, Will's, everything's 20 minutes away for Will. Will's the intern for the Outer Belt. Everything's 20 minutes away. It's 20 minutes or less than a mile for days. He'll say this the entire time you're on this trail. He's like, it's 20 minutes. We'll be fine. He was like, it's less than an hour. I asked Barry something. He's like, probably about less than an hour. We get up to this, like we're on the Des Plaines River Trail. The Weston's over here. We're getting ready to cut into mm-hmm. Dan Beard. And Jay's like, it's less than a mile. I'm like, Jay, everybody has been telling me it's been less than a mile all day long. And I can't. Like, I was just like, Blister City, it was awful. So I think the thing, so there's that level of like, I've been able to access it. I've been able to be a little pissy brat sometimes, which is when you know you're backpacking. It's not backpacking if there's a meltdown. Who's going to have the first one? I don't know. So I had my fair share of those. But I think the interesting thing about this is, and one of the other revelations that I've had is that it's really easy to underestimate hiking in a region like this. Because I looked at the map, it's like 200, 220, 210 miles, depending on who you ask, 3,800 feet of elevation gain total, according mm-hmm, to all right. trails. So it's like, oh my God, we're doing like 10 miles a day. I do 24 in the Tetons. Like, bitch, I got this. And I was like, we're going to be done by noon. I'm going to be bored for the rest of the day. But like, the first week of this, it was taking 8 hours. And part of that was I was in pain because I'm not used to pounding pavement and I did not bring the right shoes for this occasion. Part of it was it's impossible to keep my feet dry when it's 9,000% humidity. And the other part was just like, when Barry and I backpack, we motor because the sooner we get done, the more time we have to recover day to day. And the first week, 10 days, no recovery whatsoever. Like it was just like, we're walking all day long. It is very hot. Sometimes it's very exposed and it's very sweaty, which I'm not used to because I'm from California where we don't do humidity. And like, I'm just like, why is this so hard? And like, at first, the blisters, I was like, oh my God, I'm such a loser. I'm getting blisters in Chicago. Like I went through the Tetons at like 24 miles in a day and I didn't get a blister, not one. And I was like, why is this trail kicking my ass so hard? And I didn't have any expectations for the trail itself, but I did have an expectation of how much time I thought it would take. And when that wasn't met, I was very fussy. And it was an exercise in learning that I can say, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to start at 8 a.m. And you know what happened? We started at 8 a.m. Did anybody lose their shit? Absolutely not. They're like, that actually sounds like a great idea. I was like, yeah, why did we agree on 9 to begin with? That was an awful plan. So like this whole trip has been a lesson my intention for this trip was I have recently come into like full Sydney. I got blue hair now. Last stop on like the physical appearance train is a nose piercing. So like, I'm like so close to like the vision I've had for like this body in this lifetime. But I wanted to walk every step and be like stepping into that version of myself and like getting practice being like Sydney fully expressed. Cause I've dumbed down my shit for forever. Improv unlocked something magical. I was like, oh, I'm extra and it's okay. And there's no rules on it. Like I love improv. Thank you. This stage is my safe space. I just wanted the practice to do that. And it didn't look like how I thought it would be, like this really floaty, dreamy experience where I'm like, oh, I'm full Sydney. It's so wonderful. Everybody watch out. When I get done with this trail, you're not going to know what hit you. But what it has been is like speaking up for myself, establishing boundaries, not judging myself when I get a heel blister, which I haven't had a heel blister since I did Catalina. And that was 80 pounds on my body and 40 pounds in a backpack ago. Like that was a long time ago. And so it was just like, it didn't show up the way I thought it would. But what has happened has been absolutely magical. And meeting you has been like, obviously like my favorite highlight. So duh. Okay, cool. So there's that. What are you thankful for? We like to close things out with a gratitude circle.
Everything. Oh Everything. My God. I'm thankful for, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you and Barry. I'm thankful for like the immediate and electric connection that we've been able to make and in a very short time. I don't think people form. I don't think people are willing to be vulnerable enough. And some of that's the trail. And right. some of that's, are you willing to take off your mask? Because we're maskless.
Yes.
But people don't form those kind of friendships anymore after they're 7 or 12 or whatever. They don't do it in their 30s and 40s. And like,
right.
it's worth it. Like, human beings are worth it. Like, be your real authentic self with them and let them in. So I'm thankful and grateful that, like, we're all forming these bonds. I'm grateful for Will, who is 19 years old and, like, just composed and wise and, like, easygoing beyond, like, his and my years put together. So I'm like, I got stuff to learn
cool
from
as
that.
A cucumber, that kid.
From yeah. that kid. I'm thankful for Jay for this trail coming out of his brain. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my partner, Mike. I'm so grateful. I'm also grateful. I know it's been like really, really bad humidity. I'm all over the map for you guys some days, but like you've had decent weather
yeah,
for this.
Oh, yeah.
Like it could have been
a hot, rainy mess. And we only yeah. had one day of
yeah.
moist rain.
Yeah.
This hike has been brought to you by the letter M for moist.
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I like that.
How about you?
Barry, you want to be grateful for something?
I don't know, do I?
Yeah, what are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for, we got 3 days left.
Yeah.
And we're going to make it.
We're going to make it.
Like,
for a while.
Because the first 3 days, I was like, nah, we're okay. good. The first 3 days, I was like, oh, man, what have we get ourselves into? Like, and we've hiked some pretty gnarly stuff, but this was like, you know, this is not what I signed up for. I was walking like a geriatric patient, like all bent over like this.
Can
like,
you do a drive-by of your geriatric
yeah, so
walk?
I was just be like, you know, like this, like, like every morning and every evening. And it was just brutal. But now I feel like $1 million. Like yeah. nothing,
trail
nothing
legs
bothers
on.
Me now.
Yeah.
Nothing absolutely bothers me. And I'm grateful for you. And I'm yeah. grateful for you. And I'm grateful for you.
You. For you. And you.
Kumas.
Yeah, I was looking for that to show
yeah.
up.
I'm grateful for Kumas.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm Kumas. Grateful for the opportunity to do this hike and to be part of this experience in this stage of this trail. I really look forward to coming back in 5, 10, 15, 20 years and just see how this evolves. See how the trees grow at Bullfrog.
So we have shade.
So we have shade. Yeah. Like just all kinds of cool stuff. So that's it for us. You want to sign them out? Do you have a sign off? Do you want to make one up? You're on the spot.
I'm so
your suggestion
on the spot.
Is sign off.
Oh my God. Now I do the thing that I did on the cruise ship. Just like get outside.
Yeah. Get outside
get
and
outside.
Be good to each other. Love
wherever
each other.
You are. There's yeah.
I like that. All right, cool. Well, that's all we got. We're going to say bye to the folks on YouTube. Bye, people on YouTube. See you later. Adios.
Thank you for joining us around the virtual campfire. Sometimes we talk about heavy topics. Sometimes we tell poop stories. But regardless of what we've discussed, we always like to end the show on a high note. At the end of our live broadcasts, we invite our community to share what they're grateful for in a segment called the Group Gratitude Circle. Every week, I'm thankful for you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy life to connect with us and witness these stories of hope, healing, and inspiration in the outdoors. If you'd like to gather with us around the campfire live each week, join the Hiking My Feelings virtual campfire VIPs. If this were a legit talk show, you'd be sitting in our studio audience. We haven't been picked up by a major network yet, so for now, we gather on Zoom. Here, you can connect with the community before and after the broadcast, hang out for soundcheck when we have musical guests, participate in the Q&A, join in on the group gratitude circle, and be eligible to receive prizes and gifts from our sponsors, partners, and guests. Learn more and join us at hikingmyfeelings.org/campfire. Don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with your friends, family, colleagues, and anyone else who could use a dose of community and connection. Follow us on Instagram, we're at hikingmyfeelings, and you can tag your journey with #hikingmyfeelings. And if you're picking up what we're putting down and you want to be part of this movement, join the Hiking My Feelings family at family.hikingmyfeelings.org. In case nobody told you lately, you are a brilliant human who is destined to do epic things in this world. Join us next week for more stories of hope, healing, and inspiration in the outdoors. Until then, happy trails!